Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 this morning. And this morning it is our final Sunday school before a short summer break, before we embark on a new year coming up here in the fall. And when things get ready to become new and restart and all of those good things. And as I was thinking about the Sunday school hour this morning, we actually finished up last week the story of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. And when we start back up in October, we'll continue on in the book of Genesis. But I got to thinking about summer and how we could best have a good summer. And this is what the Lord laid on my heart for this morning. And so you're there, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 20. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 20. Down through verse number 22. The Bible says this, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And so, for a few moments this morning, you notice that phrase there in verse number 21, where the Bible says, "He shall be a vessel unto honor." And then in verse number 20, the Bible talks about, "And some to honor and some to dishonor." For a few moments this morning, I'd like to ask us this question as we prepare for the summer, and that is, which vessel are you? Which vessel are you? Now, when you stop to think about the types of Sunday school lessons, the type of sermons, the type of Bible studies that a preacher normally preaches, you can really put them into one of three categories. You can put them into a salvation message, a salvation lesson, a salvation Bible study. You can put them into a strengthening message, a strengthening Bible study, a strengthening lesson, or a soul-winning message, a soul-winning lesson, a soul-winning Bible study. And this morning, it's going to be that middle type of lesson. That's a strengthening message. Because as we get ready to embark on the summer months, it becomes a time where, you know, if you're able, you get to go and spend a little bit more time with friends. You get to go spend a little bit more time with family. Maybe you get an opportunity to go on a vacation somewhere. And before you know it, the summer months have come and they've gone. And one of the easiest things that we can do in the summer is neglect the things of God, is to neglect the house of God. And so this morning we want to be strengthened to not neglect those things. We want to be strengthened to make sure that even during the summer months, God is still a priority. And as we think about that type of a lesson this morning, within that type of lesson, there are also many other types of lessons, other types of messages, other types of Bible studies, as we all have areas in our Christian life that need strengthening. We think about doctrine or service or Christian living. And we know this is true because of what the Bible tells us. In fact, go over, if you would, keep your finger in Timothy and go over to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 this morning. Revelation chapter 3. And notice there, if you would, what the Lord says to the church at Sardis in verse number 2. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 2. The Bible says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God." And so we see that as Christians, we need to be ever vigilant. We need to be ever mindful. We need to be watchful, because there are things in our life, especially our Christian life, that we need to strengthen, that we need to build up. Because if we don't, then those things, the Bible says, they're going to die, they're going to fall by the wayside, and they're going to be gone before we even know it. And so that is to say that there are things in each of our lives that we must be careful to strengthen, unless they die and become of no use to us or anybody else anymore. And so this morning, you know, we're not going to be very doctrinal heavy, so to speak, but rather, Lord willing, we want to give some practical things from the Scriptures, some very practical advice that each of us, we can easily put these things into place in our life. And so we're back there in 2 Timothy this morning, and it's very unique, the book of 2 Timothy, in several ways. The first is the book of 2 Timothy, it's the last writing of the Apostle Paul before his martyrdom. So before Paul is killed, this is his last writing to Timothy. But not only that, secondly, we see that it is written while Paul is in prison in Rome as Paul awaited death. And here in this letter to Timothy, Paul writes his final instructions to his dearly beloved son. And it's in this book of 2 Timothy that we find the Apostle Paul. He's dealing with the personal walk. He's dealing with the testimony of a true servant of Christ, that being Timothy, in what is turning into a very great day of apostasy, which is turning into a day where people, they are falling away from the faith. They're turning away from the things of God here in 2 Timothy. And so the organizational structure of the book of 2 Timothy, in chapter 1, you have the greeting. He starts to greet young Timothy. And then in chapter 2, you have the ministry of a faithful servant of Christ, that being Timothy. And then in chapter 3, you have the apostasy in the last days. You have the falling away from the faith. You have people turning their back on God, turning their back on Christ. And so the Apostle Paul here is encouraging Timothy to, even when everybody else is turning away from God, you stay and you stand and you do what is right in the sight of God. And then chapter 4, we have Paul's swan song. We have Paul's benediction. We have Paul's farewell to Timothy. And a lot of people believe that 2 Timothy was written sometime around AD 66. And so for our purposes this morning, we're dealing with chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, and we're dealing with the ministry of a faithful servant in young Timothy. And so getting to the very heart of the epistle, Paul here, he delivers a series of instructions to Timothy. And a simple key to understanding, and as you look at chapter 2, you find out very quickly that chapter 2 is a very complex chapter. But to understand the complexity of the chapter, you have to follow the imperatives. And so the greater theme here in chapter 2 that Paul is trying to get Timothy to understand is to endure hardship. He's trying to get Timothy to understand that in the Christian life, hard times will come. And as a Christian, you have to learn, especially when you're young, to endure those hard times. You have to learn to endure those hardships. That you have to learn to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You have to be a good soldier of the Lord. And then in the last half of the chapter, focuses on Paul presenting to Timothy a list of warnings and instructions, particularly concerning truth and error. And even though this was written many, many years ago, the wisdom is still relevant for us today. The wisdom is still timeless for us today. And so you're there, 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice there again, if you would, verse number 20 and 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 again. The Bible says there, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified or set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And so, here in verses 20 and 21, we have the Apostle Paul, and he's using the analogy, he's using the illustration of that of a palace. And he's saying that in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and vessels of silver, but you also have vessels of wood and you have vessels of earth. You have some to honor and you have some to dishonor. And he's saying that in that time, that the vessels of various materials, they were very much the common containers of life. And so in a palace, you would have the chalices of gold, you would have the chalices of silver, and they would be reserved for use by the Lord of the house. They would be reserved, you know, you think about when you have a family get-together, you have a lot of family over or friends, or you have a very formal dinner, so to speak. That's when you bring out the good china. That's when you bring out, your best. And so that's what Paul is saying here, that these vessels of gold, these vessels of silver, they were reserved for the best of the best. They were reserved for the Lord of the house. And then you also had clay and wooden pots, or clay and wooden vessels. And these vessels, well, they were used for garbage. They were used for sewage disposal. You know, you think about, today, you know, when you don't feel like dirtying a plate, what do you have? You have paper plates, right? And so after you get done your meal, you don't have to worry about washing the dishes. All you have to do is go into the kitchen, go into your trash can, lift up the lid, throw it away, boom, dishes are done. That's the best type of dishes, by the way. You know, you don't have to worry about running the dishwasher. You don't have to worry about, you know, wiping all the grime off. Nope. You finish your meal, you just go throw it away. Mandy, when she was down for that 2 weeks, we went to Walmart and we got a big thing of paper plates. We got the plastic silverware, anything that we could do just to make sure that there was no need for dishes. Now, we still had to do some dishes, but we didn't have to do many because we had what would be the equivalent of the pots and the clay and the wooden pots that Paul is talking about here in 2 Timothy. So you have the great house, the palace, referred to maybe a reference to the greater sphere of God's work. And so we have those things here talked about. And then verse 21 again. Verse 21, the Bible says, "If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And so the Apostle Paul says here that, okay, if a man does away with these things, if he purges himself, it's referring immediately to the vessels of dishonor at the end of verse number 20. But the greater spiritual principle is that in the context that came before it, Paul is talking about profane and vain babblings. He's talking about ungodliness. He's talking about heretical teachings. He's teaching about iniquity, and he's teaching about sin. And so what Paul is saying here, he says, okay, if you cleanse yourself of this sin, if you cleanse yourself of this corruption, then you will be a vessel unto honor. And so as we cleanse our lives from sin, as we keep those short sin accounts, as we, you know, because even though we're saved, we're still sinners. We still sin. We still struggle. We still mess up. And so that's why we come to the Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, the Bible tells us. And so if we keep ourselves free of the corruption of sin, then the Bible tells us we become a vessel unto honor. And as we cleanse our lives of sin, as we cleanse our lives of error, and as we cleanse our lives of the things of the world, then we put ourselves in a position where we can then be used of God. And we then become useful to God. See, because if we have a life that is filled with sin, then we are not very useful to God. God cannot use us if we have a life that is plagued by sin. Now, that's, again, not to say that we still won't sin, because we do. But we keep those short sin accounts so that we can be used of God in His work. And so we see here, Paul says that in so purging or cleansing ourselves from such impurity, we become sanctified, we become set apart and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. It could be, you can kind of think of it this way, that we become clean, useful, and ready to be utilized for the Master's work. And so the greater idea here that Paul is trying to get across is that as we cleanse our lives and have our understanding of the Bible and have our understanding of the Scripture clearly focused, then we become useful for the Master's use. In fact, you're there. Chapter 2, go back up and look, if you would, at verse number 15. Because this reverts back to this crucial truth found in verse 15. The Bible says there, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth." And so we see here that we need to be diligent in God's word. We need to be diligent in the Scriptures. We need to make sure that we're reading our Bibles on a regular basis, a daily basis, to be diligent in being approved by God in rightly understanding His Word. And then finally this morning, notice there, if you would, verse number 22. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22. The Bible says there, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And so Paul finishes up this section with two additional commands, imperatives, things that are important for the Christian. Number one, he says, flee youthful lusts. And by that he means, you know, those immature desires that you might have. Flee them. Leave them behind. You know, you think about kids, right? Well, kids, they have oftentimes desires which as they get older, they find to be very unsound. They find to be very foolish. And Paul here ordered Timothy to flee such things. But then he says, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. The thought of that word translated as follow means a swift pursuit. And so Paul is saying here that as Christians, we are to actively pursue after righteousness. You know, anybody ever been stopped by the police here? You know, you get caught for speeding or, Miss Martha, the only one? Miss Martha, you're a criminal. I'll tell you. Now, when you saw the lights, did you stop right away or did you lead them on a chase? You stopped right away. Okay. And so, but you know, sometimes you watch these TV shows like Cops or Live PD or whatever, and sometimes they don't stop right away and they lead the cops on a chase. And well, does that mean the cops automatically stop? No, unless it's going to cause a danger to the community, the cops, they keep after you. It has the idea of what Paul is saying here. They give a swift pursuit. They aggressively pursue after that person that is doing wrong. And so just like the cops pursue after those people that are doing wrong, then as Christians, we need to be of that same mindset that we are going to pursue, that we are going to swiftly go after righteousness and faith and love and peace. And then we notice just who our companions and friends ought to be. You notice what it says there in verse 22, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So in other words, this morning, in seeking to be a vessel prepared for the Master's use, we also need to be careful who our friends are. We need to be careful who we associate with. We need to make sure those who are our friends and those who we are hanging out with, that number one, that they call upon the Lord. That number one, they know that they're saved. Because listen, there's no better friend than you can have and than I can have than a fellow Christian, than somebody else who knows Jesus as their Savior. And listen, you know, we talk about it all the time. How many times have we gone somewhere and we meet somebody and we don't know right away they're a Christian, but, you know, we just start talking and we just start visiting and fellowshipping and connecting, and it's like you've known them for years. And then you come to find out, well, hey, they're saved. Hey, they go to church. Hey, I'm saved. I go to church. And you say, well, what does that? Well, that's what you have in common. The saving blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that has brought you and binded you together. So we need to make sure our friends, number one, they're saved, that they're born again Christians. And then we need to make sure that they have a pure heart, that they're separated, they're pure in their living. Go over, if you would, keep your finger there in Psalms, and go to, or keep your finger in Timothy and go over to Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. And notice there, verse number 1. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And so we see here that as Christians, we need to make sure that we have those who in our life that they also are pursuing after righteousness and faith and love and peace, because they will encourage you to do the same. And so as we close back there in 2 Timothy, you say, how can we have a good summer? Well, the very first thing you need to do And the very first thing you need to make a decision on is, what vessel are you? Are you a vessel unto honor, or are you a vessel unto dishonor? And you say, well, how can I be a vessel unto honor? Well, we see it right there. Number one, you need to be sanctified. You need to be set apart from the things of this world. You need to be ready to be used by God, ready to be used by the Master, prepared unto every good work. Whatever it is God wants you to do this summer, you need to just decide, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And listen, that doesn't mean you can't go on vacation or you can't enjoy family, you can't enjoy friends, but even in the summer, make God number one. Make God the priority. And then we see verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness and faith and charity and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. In other words, this morning, go after those things that will help grow you as a Christian, that will help build you up in your faith. And so that as you go on those vacations and enjoy that time with family and friends, that you are still strengthened and being that which God would have you to be even during the summer. And so as we think about this morning, the most important thing you can do to have a good summer is that if you don't know Jesus is your Savior, if you don't know that heaven's your home, then you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt that Jesus is your Savior and that heaven's your home. And if you'd like to know how to be saved this morning, you can see us before you go home. But this summer, make that commitment today that you're going to put the Lord first. You're going to put God first, no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll be dismissed this morning.